Welcome to the 470th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome and thanks for listening. I have another guest this week. How about that? You just don't have to listen to me ramble. I have Meg Donahue, owner of Mama Says. Mama Says, as many of you know, is a plant-based food company. She originally started the healthy food, frozen food delivery service after working with her mother who had congestive heart failure and found it difficult to eat healthy meals. Her mother was basically told to go get her affairs in order, and Meg started doing some research and found that adopting a plant-based plant-based nutrition program, along with watching her salt intake, could really help her mother turn things around, which she did. Meg was at one of my first nutrition conferences here in Port Charlotte, Florida, with her product, and we have followed each other and corresponded over the years, and recently her company has underwent a change, and they're focusing more on the healthy snack avenue. And she was kind enough to send me some product to sample and to see if it worked with my ultra running. And it's fabulous. And I'm just going to let her tell you about it because it's a great product. We also talked about our mothers and how adopting a plant-based diet really has helped them. Meg's also an athlete. We talked about athletics and how plant-based nutrition plays a role in recovery, and we talked about outliers a little bit, because as we talked with Susan last week, I think that there's a difference in people's ability to transition to a plant-based diet, whether or not they're more of an outlier or more of a middle-of-the-crowd type person. But anyhow, I think you'll enjoy listening to the podcast. We talk cardiac issues, we talk nutrition, we talk sports. I think it was a great conversation, and I appreciate having Meg on the podcast. Enjoy. All right. I'd like to welcome Meg Donahue of Mama Says to the podcast today. Meg and I go pretty far back. She was, I believe you were at our first conference with your original Mama Says healthy foods that were frozen entrees and some fresh entrees that you started. And, you know, maybe we should just refresh people's memories for those that haven't heard it. You started Mama Says because of your mom. So we have that in common. We both had vivacious mothers that needed a kickstart with their nutrition.
That's exactly it. And we do go way back. You were one of the first doctors that I reached out to because I was so impressed with your story and the work that you were doing. And we started because I can give you a little background. We started because my mom was had congestive heart failure, and she had less than 10% heart function, kidneys were failing. And as you know, the whole ecosystem starts to collapse. And I brought her home to live with me for what we thought were the last 3 months of her life. And I Googled who has survived this level of heart disease. And I found Dr. Esselstyn and, you know, and then a lot of other doctors. But I got his book, and I think I even called him up, and I just started making her very small micro meals. And, you know, she gradually stabilized. And as you know, you don't go from that sick to well in a month. It was over like a 6 month period. She stabilized, started to get stronger. And we were like, what is happening? And realized a year in, you know, she was up and walking around. She was talking about driving again and things like that. And we thought, we are onto something here, because I was absolutely maniacal about it, you know. And maybe, you know, for me, it took a life and death event to really open my eyes. So I have a lot of compassion for people who are somewhere on the continuum. But my health improved, my family's health improved. And then we realized it was hard to do this consistently, to one, have the information that you need in one place, and then the good food. So we had a big background in food production. We had had a company and sold it, a large commercial bakery. We made organic bread, and we were in Whole Foods and Trader Joe's. And, you know, we had a really big company, had sold it. And we realized we know how to make food. We know how to distribute it. this type of food is really hard for people who are starting out or for people who just want products to help them maintain, that they don't have to worry at all. And so early on, we dedicated ourselves to being the company that you wouldn't, you could read the label, but you wouldn't have to. There is nothing in there that isn't whole food, plant-based, no oil, no gluten, no process, no chemicals, no junk. And so that's what we started. And we had a really good run for about 6 years with that. And then about eight months ago, as everyone knows, there was a rise in gas prices and shipping costs. And since we ship and we had a 2-day window to ship to people, our costs were already high. And we just started to see the costs in a lot of things. And interestingly, electricity, because we had a lot of ice packs. So these two things that you don't really think will have a, you know, that big of an impact had a huge impact. And the third factor was AI, which again, for people who might not be aware of the impact of AI on companies that have optimized their sites for search engines, when AI came, it really kind of circumvented all the companies. So we would optimize our site so people would type in something and then come to us. AI came and it just started giving people the answer without us. And so a lot of our traffic was impacted. And so what we took a hard look and we tried to be honest with ourselves of like, we could do this, we'd have to raise prices, and we don't know where this is going to go. And so to be really faithful to our investors and to the people who, you know, believe in our company, that we thought the most prudent thing to do would be to look at the products that we had that didn't require ice to ship to people. And we had these sleeper products that were all, you know, we just hadn't been paying as close attention to them, but they month after month, year after year, they were growing. And then we developed a new line of shelf stable products that we can ship to people that are more, I think, in the like mini meal snack line. And we have some superfood powders because I'm very concerned with brain health. So turmeric things and beet powders and things like that. And so we have that line also coming up, but we started back and we've just been going since. And so it's a little bit of a reboot, but it's still the same mission, you know, to how to get healthy naturally, how to, you know, quench a lot of the things that bother people. You probably see it in your practice, cravings and, you know, kind of obsessive compulsive type things. And we know that when you can do this one piece of the pie, give yourself great food, it makes making decisions a lot easier. And so that's what we've committed to. And knock on wood, we're going strong.
Good. Yeah. I mean, you were gracious to send me a sample packet and I've sampled away. You know, I'm a huge, we love mangoes. That's my favorite fruit. And, you know, it's hard to get just mangoes, you know, mango slices. And those are, you know, I love, we do loops usually when we're doing training runs and to come in and grab, you know, a couple pieces of mango and go back out, you know, or take some in a baggie. And, you know, the same thing, you know, you and I were just briefly talking about ultra running. You know, how do you get something that has calories, but not a lot of processed oils? And, you know, I think, you know, we'll get down that road a little bit too. I hate to, and everybody knows, you know, I did the 100 miler and I talked about, you know, I ate peanut butter and jelly sandwich and Oreos. And the only time I ever eat Oreos is when I'm running an ultra marathon. And it was so funny, but you know, Tim Marie Hagenberger, she actually paced me on one of the loops. And I thought, when she shows up and she sees, you know, me taking a bag of Oreos with me out on the run, she's just going to have chest pain, you know, or whatever.
Right.
You know, we're running and you know, and she just kind of looked and I was like, man, I said, they dissolve, they work. You know, it's like, this is the only time I do this. But again, you need something you can absorb that, you know, whatever's in an Oreo, it dissolves and we went on, you know, your chocolate dream cookie is going to be, you know, that's going to go in the pack too. And what I like, they don't have the, you know, I always tell people when they look at ingredients, especially of shelf stable cookies or whatever, it's the variety of different oils that are in them. You know, people blame sugar and certainly there is a lot of sugar, but there's all these different seed oils, which are very inflammatory. And, you know, your stuff is just food. And
it's just food
and it's just great, you know. And like I said, you know, the pecan dates, that and a cup of coffee takes me in the morning right before I go out for the run. That's how I start with, you know.
It's so great to hear.
Works out good, but the lemon, you know, all those, you know, just all you need is just one little bite. It's small. It's compact, but it gives you enough calories to get you a boost and get you going for a few miles.
That's great.
We share a story. We both lost our mothers in the past year. You have Graham's granola. I guess that's after your mom.
It is after. Yeah, she loved it. And so it was a, you know, it's a cereal, it's a snack. And again, it's unlike any other granola because it doesn't have any of the sugars in it. And it's a very light feeling. And I think that's something that as an athlete myself, I play competitive tennis and tournaments I want something that will give me a boost, but not be heavy. And you referenced that with an Oreo. It has that dissolving. And the granola is, there's a big demand for that. It's really great. It's a great snack. Yeah.
I like it. I typically do fruit for breakfast. And so I'll do a tablespoon of chia seeds fruit, but the granola topping it's a great addition to that. So that was good. So yeah. And I enjoyed all of those things.
That's so great.
Are you still going to be mainly the mail order? Same way.
Yeah, we're going to start, you know, we had a big, and I think I talked briefly about this. We had a big background in retail. And so we had, for years been in, you know, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's with other products. And we really, one of the things that we like about direct to customers, you actually know who your customers are. And so we can develop a relationship and hear from people directly what they want and don't want. And it's a much less kind of competitive, you know, a lot of people taking the piece of the pie. And so we felt like we had more control. So for now, our route will probably always be direct to customer. We can keep prices affordable. And then partnering with some people, if we're a good match, to maybe add to what they do, if some of our products are a good complement to what they do.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think it'd be great in the ultra community, just because typically the aid stations at ultras are about every 5 miles apart, and you go there and there are potato chips, pretzels, M&Ms, some sort of box cookies, and then when it gets dark, they have ramen noodles and mashed potatoes. That's the basics of what you see. A lot of that, you know, most of the time it's a broth that's not vegan. So I don't do that. I don't do M&Ms. I don't do potato chips. I do the Oreos and so it's Oreos and Coke is about all I could get at an aid station that's, you know, tolerable for me. But it's
really
nice. So then we pack everything then,
yeah.
You know, so we usually, you know, you, they, there's a thing, you have drop bags at various locations. And so, you know, you pack in your pack. And then when you get to your drop bag, you refill your pack and go. So that'll work out.
We'll definitely be supplying you, but I'm look into that because it really is kind of strange that for something that is so healthy, there's, you know, it's fueled by something that isn't. And I understand that kind of disconnect, and I understand making a decision of I need the calories now. But if we can get a little inroad there and give people an option, I think that would be great.
There's a race that we're doing in May called the Cruel Jewel in Georgia.
Okay.
We're doing the 56 mile, but there's 100 and, you know, I
Holy
guess it's
smokes.
112 mile. But the race directors, and I'm trying to get them on the podcast, but they're actually plant-based. And so they do they have a lot of plant-based options, you know, so some of those, but I think traditionally people running, they're just burning through so many calories. There's a disconnect, but at some point people start to have a lot of GI issues.
Right.
And then they go digging for, you know, how do I get past the GI issues? And so, you know, more and more people are starting to become more healthy in that scene. And there's a little bit of that banter back and forth, you know, the vegans, you know, and,
right.
There's more and more. And I was surprised last year we volunteered at a race And there was quite a few plant-based runners that came through, you know. So I think it's becoming more. It's just that everybody else is not really caught up with the supply and demand. And again, if you saw this, if you saw any of these available, nobody's going to have any qualms with it. Do you know what I mean? If you,
I think that's the thing. It's just performance food. And that's, you know, high performance life, high performance athlete. And, you know, we have a new, and I'll send you these because they're just coming out. We just got the formulation down because one of the things we had in our old line was a fresh beet product.
Yes, so I love that. Remember, I did eat that before.
Yeah. And so, and we know, I know for me, that helps, you know, pre-matches, post, is to have that. And I think, you know, vegan or not vegan, and we finally nailed it. So I'll be sending you some of that down as well.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's getting into the beet powder and the nitric oxide. So that nitric oxide is a word people now know of. You know, and they know of beet powder. And so you put something that's palatable. Yeah. That's a grocery list when we go to races is, you know, you got to find some beet someplace, you know, to have before the race, you know, and, I haven't never tried one during an ultra. You know, it could probably be scary if you got.
Right. I do it before and after,
before,
you know, I like it.
After,
recovery.
You know, it definitely would be,
and I like the stamina.
A good idea. Yeah. There's a company called The Feed. Have you ever heard of them? Feed.com?
I have not.
Thefeed.com is a company that sells a variety of different products to endurance athletes. That's kind of a one-stop shopping.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll check them out.
And they kind of list their website, you know, plant-based, not plant-based, whole foods or whatever type of thing. So
sure.
Yeah, that would probably be an interesting potential area or inroad.
We'll definitely check them out. Yeah.
Yeah, because it just, again, it's so nice that they're limited ingredients. And like I said, the oil product, I think, you know, the fight out, I don't know how much the diet fads, I should say, or the diet camps,
right.
The carnivores versus the plant-based people and the seed oils versus the animal oils. And, you know, there's a lot of people. Throw plant-based oils under the bus, and probably rightly so because they're so high in omega-6s and it's inflammatory. But I always giggle. It's like, you know, I was raised in West Virginia and there was plenty of animal fat and that didn't go well. You know,
right.
They were having heart attacks, you know, and diabetes. So I know that's not the answer, you know,
but
get, you know, sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds to give you, you know, together, it's a much different ball game.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And there's so many, you know, everyone is picking a lane, it feels like, and you probably hear this a lot and we come back to, and I think you have a really practical outlook in life, you know, and it's that if you can, it makes sense to us with as many choices as people have and as much bad food as there is there. If you can have some of this on your plate, you're going to be better off. You know, none of what we make will harm you. You know, it's whole food. So it's not going to be of harm. I mean, unless I guess you had some particular, you know, you can't eat.
I don't think you could eat a straight bag of the, you know, the energy squares. I think you'll stop, you know, because again, I think, you know, that's the
other. That is the thing. You're going to stop. We call it crush the cravings because it doesn't trigger cravings. It's satisfying. You know, you don't eat a bag of apples. Nobody does that. You don't, you know, you eat an apple, maybe two if you're starving, but you don't eat, I can't stop eating apples. And it's the same with these. They're super satisfying, but they're like a treat. And then you're done.
Yeah. I think it's
such a good point.
It's very valid because you just, you know, you get tired of chewing, just like the apple.
Right, exactly. I'm done.
But there is a little bit of a crunch, you know, and like the granola does have a crunch, you know, because, you know, I always giggle when people's like, I just need a crunch. And it's like, you're not talking the crunch of a carrot, right? You know, you know, they kind of stop, you know, and it's like, but.
Yeah. Yep. They want the crunch.
Well, good, good. So this is available anywhere. You're shipping every place. This is easy.
Yeah, very easy. We have a great deal for anybody listening to your podcast too. And, you know, for a $20 off, already a discounted bundle. So really you're getting into this $130 bundle for $70. And it's just, is to get people started. Do you like them? And we have 100% risk-free guarantee. So if they don't like it, just send it back to us and we'll give you your money back. You know,
there you go. That's pretty cool. Just send it to me. And if you don't like it,
or just send it to you, right? And I trust people, you know, we have great customers and people, you know, a lot of people have said that's a super risky thing to do, but our customers have been fabulous. And, you know, they like the food. They're like you. This is great. And so we feel really confident being able to say 100% guarantee.
Yeah, I know a lot of your customers and from my practice, and they are loyal. And they were actually very disappointed, you know, when
it was very hard.
But you know, it's a tough when you're having to ship. And keep things cold. And, you know, I do Misfits Market supplement. We just got a Sprouts here in town, but before we didn't really have a lot of organic choices and a different variety. And I, like you, I like a variety of mushrooms and some different things. And I could get them from Misfits. So I always do a Misfits box, but it ships out of New Jersey, and depending on, you know, their delivery system, at one point it was DHL. Now I believe it's FedEx, but I mean, you know, it gets lost or there's a problem and things come, you know, not all the time, but I mean, it's not Misfits' problem. It's, you know, what happens after it leaves the place. And they're very good about, you know, if you have something that's, you know, gone bad or the box got, you know, whatever damaged or whatever, they're, you know, reimbursing you for the things that went bad. No questions asked, but it's, you know, it's a difficult market to have to do.
Yeah, it's tough. And yeah. And I think on the good side, you know, what we've seen since, you know, we kind of started in 2017 is that there's actually is more available for, you know, people are getting more used to plant-based. They're more used to vegan. There's not as many, I don't think, whole food plant-based vegan, but people are getting, you know, a better sense of it. And so, and they can, I think after the pandemic, people got used to ordering, you know, DoorDash or Instacart and things like that. So they can order healthy things pretty readily. We just happen to be a very specific, specialized product. And I'm really happy to stay in that lane so people don't have to wonder.
Is everything gluten-free?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool. You know, because that really helps out too, as far as people, you know, want to go that route. And typically that's the other problem, that when people want to go gluten-free, it's usually very heavy in oil. You know, you hold things together somehow.
It's true. It takes a lot of work, and you know, we have some really good formulations on the back end of how you make something taste good. And you know them because you cook. But we put a lot of effort into that, so you get the right mouthfeel. It doesn't taste like gluten free. Where most of ours are low sodium or no sodium, which is great because that, you know, that's another sneaky thing that's added to foods, even vegan foods, to make it taste a certain way.
Tastes like salt.
Tastes like salt, right? And people are like, "This is great." But I was that person, you know. I have such compassion because I was that. I was, you know, brought up in New England, dairy farms and hunting, and that's how we grew up. It was a while, you know. I was on a continuum, and then I got it, and the light bulb went off, and have never looked back.
Did your mom? Was salt an issue with her when you first transitioned?
Yeah. Absolutely. That was the first alert that I had. I knew, I didn't know a lot, but I knew limit salt. So I was just looking back over some notes of even before she came here, and I had gone up to see her and had emailed my brother about decreasing her sodium. And she was living alone at the time. And I think she went shopping like at the Christmas tree shop, you know, and would get foods with like have a 20-year shelf life. And they'd just be piled in with, you know, like sodium and all these things. And just I cleared out her whole house. And then, you know, it was hard for her to maintain it. She was sick. She was tired. And so, you know, ultimately she collapsed. And then we brought her here. But I was just freakish about decreasing the sodium, you know, always with her doctors. I didn't like go like a cowgirl on this and do it all on my own, but really stuck with the medical community because I didn't know what I was doing. But we changed her diet and really limited salt and stayed that way. You know, didn't add any salt to her food, and she had minimal in the actual prepared food.
Yeah. I mean, after my mom had, my household went vegan, plant-based after I was early. I did it early, but then nobody, you know, I was by myself. And then my mom got lymphoma. And so I took over all the cooking. And so that's when the coup occurred. You know, we all went plant-based. No. Yeah. And mainly because I didn't want animal products in the house because of the bacteria. So she was getting chemotherapy. You know, the risk of infection is very high. And people don't realize, you know, as a side, that's not what we're talking about. But, you know, if you test half the meat coming from, I don't care what grocery store you go to, it's contaminated. It's been, you know, it's an animal product that's been through a variety of different things. And so you bring that in your house and it splashes here and there on your counters. And, you know, somebody that is getting chemotherapy and has a low resistance can get a lethal infection very quickly. So that was a reason for the coup. And then she actually did very well with, you know, the plant-based and getting through chemotherapy, but she developed a cardiomyopathy because of the chemotherapy agents. And so, you know, salt became, and she had always been, you know, she had been hypertensive since she was 30s, you know, high cholesterol. I mean, she was the one with a terrible family history. And so the salt, you know, issue, and, you know, it's like, we don't eat that much of, but, you know, that became the hard thing to, but you eat enough of it that is causing a problem. And, you know, when you go out, but I ordered the bean soup and it's like, yes, the black bean soup at the restaurant is not made with, you know, no salt added beans. It's made with, you know, whatever the cheapest beans are available. And so you're getting into salt, but with, you know, her learning that process and realizing what she was eating, the carrot to her was, you don't have to take your diuretic if we can manage your salt. And, you know, so she would go, you know, she might have had to take a diuretic once a week, which is almost unheard of with somebody with a cardiomyopathy, because, you know, we could manage the salt so well. So, you know, it came down to it. Eventually, if you go out with your girlfriends, you know, for dinner, then the next, you know, that's your social activity. Fine. You know, but you're going to need to take your diuretic that day so you don't get behind. And, you know, and I tell people a lot, and it's a really good story for other people to hear, because, you know, a lot of medicines as physicians, we start because that's the protocol for heart failure. You need a beta blocker and a diuretic and an ACE inhibitor, and we're never going to stop them. And it's like, you can stop them if you can actually get your nutrition under, or at least control them or have some leeway in them. If you get your nutrition, and most, you know, most older people in general do not want to have to take a diuretic if they can help. You know, you go from either being dehydrated to can't find a bathroom quick enough.
Right, right.
So if you can eliminate that, it makes life, you know, life good. But a lot of pastries, like you say, you know, baking soda, you're looking at a lot of salt, and then salt added to the ingredient, you know, you can get a pretty high salt load just from sweets.
Just from sweets, for sure. And, you know, with my mom, it was the same thing. She was on I had a spreadsheet of all of her medications when she first came here, because it was just crazy. And, you know, like a lot of people who might not have a single physician like you, she had several. And so things kind of overlap. So she had this from here and this from here. And we decreased her medications once we finally got her stabilized in one place to go. Her medications decreased, you know, her everything that could go well went well for her. You know, her heart function went back up to the high end of normal. It was actually, she broke her hip when she was 90. And my niece, who is a surgeon, texted me and said, "You're not going to believe it. Graham's heart function is better at 90 than it was when she was 85, because they had to test it to be able to operate on her. And it was true. You know, she could swim. Her blood pressure was normal. She actually had to decrease her blood pressure medication because she was lightheaded, because her blood pressure had gone too low from it. So, you know, that was how we managed so many of her things. And, you know, she took a B12 and, you know, I think some D or something, just because her doctor had said, and she didn't want to take it. So that's what she did. But the freedom from that was extraordinary, you know, and just, she felt so much better. Like, I'm sure your mom did.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's just, you know, people, you know, used to come, before I changed the practice, would come here with a toolbox full of medications, you know, and it's like there's, you look at it, it's like there's no way that anybody could figure out how to do this or remember to do it or not be terribly ill from it. Right. Just the combination of swallowing so many chemicals that they had to swallow, you know, and it's difficult. It still hasn't infiltrated the medical community as it should, that, you know, we emphasize these things, you know. You know, it still blows my mind. I'm still the only holdout in the town, you know, in Port Charlotte that, you know, that crazy vegan doctor, basically.
Right. You're definitely an outlier. And I think I'm always surprised because I'm so immersed in it. And then I reflect back on when I was first trying to figure out what to do with my mom, and I was so scared, you know. And so you have a medical institution that is telling you, do this, do this. And then I had one doctor over here saying, maybe change your diet. And I don't know what made me go with that, except for he said reverse. And nobody was saying reverse. Everyone else was saying, make her comfortable, make arrangements, and this is it. And so it was really hope at that moment that made me look at the outlier doctors and say, will this work? And then it kind of eventually made sense. Like, well, it does make sense. So I'm putting it into my body. It will have an impact. I don't know why I had that disconnect, but yeah, I don't know why, you know, I feel like, you know, how can that be, you know?
Eating healthy was not going to McDonald's. That was basically eating healthy. Right. If you go to McDonald's, you were doing pretty good. You know, I don't know how many, we eat a pretty good diet, you know, and I always say, when people's like, I'm almost plant-based. And it's like, what do you mean? I'm about 60%. It's like, everybody's 60%.
All right. You know, exactly.
Yeah. Corn on your plate, you're almost 60% of potato.
Oh, right. Exactly. It's just that big, you know, Tyrannosaurus Rex steak you got on there. That's the messing it up. Yeah. Or
most of the time, you know, so yeah, it's been interesting. Yeah. I was kind of giggling because you and I were also talking about the 100 miles and, you know, again, I mean, it goes along the same way, you know, the plant-based thing, as far as, you know, believing that you can actually, you know, do, you know, plant-based stuff and survive, and that, you know, the outlier, it just, and I think, you know, again, some people just live this way. I talked to a woman that's, she's run 145 100 mile races. She's 61. She was on the podcast last week. She was also raised, her occupation, she was an engineer, you know, so she graduated in the 80s. And, you know, I said, well, you're always, and she's plant-based. And I said, well, you're an outlier. You're always an outlier. So if you were always an outlier, it's not quite as frightening or daunting to be, you know, the odd kid in the block, because you've always been the odd kid in the block.
Yeah. And a pioneer. I think that's, you know, that you've taken on that responsibility. And it's, I think it would be, especially in your profession, easy not to, because there's so much pressure and institutionalized knowledge in saying, you know, just do it this way.
Eat some kale. You don't need to take.
Right.
You know, it's like, what, you know, I remember calling Dr. Esselstyn myself at one point. He had been to that first conference, and I had a patient that was an attorney, and he was a friend of the family's, but he kept coming in and he wasn't losing any weight, and he was still having chest pain despite, you know, swearing that he was, you know, he's plant-based, you know, 100% doing all this kind of stuff. And I was just, you know, you talk to people and they can, you know, you hear a pretty good game, and you're just like, you know, maybe this is the guy that, you know, this is the one it just doesn't work on, you know? So I said, wait a minute. And I actually just like walked out of the room and called Dr. Esselstyn. It's like, I got this guy. And I said, and he says, well, first thing he said, is he fat? I said, yeah, he's overweight. And he said, he's cheating. And then he said, does he eat out? And I said, yeah, like once or twice a week or something like that. And he's like, that's 52 times a year, over 52. And it's like, well, right. You put it that way, you know.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it was so funny that, you know, he just, and but it's hard to, you know, you prescribing that to somebody and it's like, it's, you know, and it's like, are you doing it? You know, it's like, help me out here.
Help me out. It's, you know, and that's why we started the company. We thought if we could just kind of like drop ship all of the food you need
to
the family, everyone would be fine. And what we didn't realize is that, you know, not every family had a coup. you know, there was usually one who wanted this, and it was usually the mom. And she was trying to get everyone else to do that. But what ended up happening is she would get food. And then there was the dual responsibility of additionally making food for other people who didn't want to eat vegan and the additional expense. And, you know, our products were kind of designed to kind of minimize that by not being separate meals, but actually products that you could use with other things. But it was a real resistance, you know, and we don't have a definitive answer, you know, other than to really try and support the people who are making the small inroads. And I think, you know, we talk about the products we have now as kind of the gateway drug to eating whole food plant-based, because you realize you can have snacks and treats and that are really good for you. And they don't set up a kind of obsessive eating and they actually make you feel good. But it was it's difficult in a family with culture and so we just try and make small inroads and you know keep encouraging people. But I know a lot of I'm 60% plant-based. We've heard it. It's doing so well. Yeah,
I talked to a lady today, desperately wants to, you know, she wants to kind of change. She's moving in with her daughter, but you know, her daughter likes her meat. And it's like, well, you know, you need to have that talk. You know, and, you know, if you can come to some sort of agreement that, you know, you make vegetables and she does her meat on the side, that's, you know, that's kind of a way to go. But yeah. People feel so much pressure, and I see it in my practice, they feel so much pressure to please other people that they're afraid to cook plant-based for fear they'll get negative feedback. Yeah. And so it's tough to, again, you know, cross over enough. And that's, you know, why we try to do the nutrition classes now. We actually have potlucks in the office to kind of let people show their stuff, so to speak, that, you know, you cook for people that are not going to be as judgmental because, you know, you're cooking for people that like it already.
Right.
And you can try it out and get positive feedback and get the, you know, and, you know, get the encouragement to maybe just slip one thing in, you know, you don't have to label it, just like your stuff is not labeled, you know, gluten-free, plant-based, you know.
Right, right. It's just good, healthy.
Nabisco, soybean oil haters.
Right. We just wanted to, yeah, it's just good food. You know, there's so much that people eat that's vegan that they don't label as vegan. You know, you eat an apple, you eat, you know, a salad, a cucumber, any, you know, that's all plant-based. So I think it becomes kind of becomes a bigger issue sometimes with people. It becomes like a threat to a belief system. And so we try and be sensitive to that. And I think shifting it to, you know, this is performance food for everyone and you're going to feel great. Your kids are going to like it. You know, my kids love these snacks. Their friends love them. And that's a big thing with families, you know, a lot of people with kids in school and the prevalence of eating disorders and the pressure to eat a certain way and all of this information, we're very sensitive to that, to letting kids find a way with guidance to eat better. But we've seen, you know, a lot of times it's gone wrong when people are too harsh and controlling of their kids' foods once they get older, you know, once they're in their teens and stuff. So it's complicated, but you know, we're like you, we just keep giving the message, sharing the message. And you are like such an example. Like, you know, here you are. I'm a doctor. I have a full-time practice and I'm running, by the way, 100 miles on the weekend in this like grueling race and doing great and looking great, you know, and feeling great. So it's pretty inspiring.
But good. Yeah. I mean, I have a, you know, Caleb is actually turning 4, my grandson, you know, and so
believe he's 4.
Yeah. And so he goes to, you know, a preschool twice and now it's starting to be birthday parties, you know, yeah. And the kids. And so, you know, Addie typically brings something for him to have to eat while they're there, you know, cause again, you don't want to, or she's a volunteer at the school. So she'll bring things that everybody can eat, but you know, they're also acceptable to him.
Right.
And you know, that so far the word, you know, is that'll make your belly not feel good. You know, so we don't eat that. It doesn't agree with
so them, good,
you know? And so when you get home, we'll have it, you know, we have our snacks or whatever, you know, so she'll have right. something that she makes for him that, you know, is plant-based. And, you know, he's so far, you know, he's good for that, you know, and hasn't really noticed.
Which is great.
Because, you know, they eat everything everybody else eats, just the plant-based version of it for the most part.
Right, right. Yeah. And they're feeling good. And that's and especially when you start when they're young, so they've known nothing but that. It's just awesome. Yeah, that's brilliant.
I mean, when I always giggle when I'm looking at his plate, you know, I mean, he pretty much just eats what everybody else is eating. And, you know, he loves his broccoli and loves all this stuff. And it just doesn't, it doesn't faze him. You know, I mean, he's, and, you know, it's just, it's normal for him, which makes it so much easier.
So nice.
It'll be, yeah, but it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to hear the conversations as he gets older. I'm sure he'll be given a few, you know, because he's pretty much a, you know, a little bit of a minor bird now anyway. So I'm sure he'll be given a few nutrition lectures, you know, in, right. in kindergarten.
Yeah, it's true.
Let's hope he doesn't give it to the teachers, but.
Right, right.
But maybe.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All, but he probably will. Yeah, my kids are older. My daughter is 12 and I adopted my son and he's 16 now. And so he had a very different life experience up until he was 10. And we eat whole food plant-based at my house. And then if they have, you know, they know, of course, you know, because we're immersed in it. And if they make different decisions, they just know the consequence, you know, of what's going to happen. Yeah. And so they have an awareness and, you know, if they're at somebody's house and somebody that's what they have for dinner, that's what you're eating. And so, but the bulk of what they eat is whole food plant-based. And so, and I think in this society, I feel pretty good about that. They're both, you know, super healthy kids and they're doing well. And they've been exposed to the best food. And so then we hope for the best once they leave the nest.
Yeah, I think I think that's really where it counts. And, you know, there's so much to be said for, you know, I think we always ate family meals together, always sit down. And, you know, I think that's such an important thing to, you know, food is nutrition. It's good for you. It's a good social skill. It's good to sit down everybody together. And, you know, there is a cohesiveness because of that. And if you're eating good food and, you know, it just does, you know, when I hear people saying, you know, so-and-so grab this, so-and-so grab this. And it's like, you don't eat together, you know, it's, you know, it'd be, you know, no
really
wonder.
It's funny you say that because, you know, I'm an older parent. I had my daughter when I was 49. So I'm probably in a different generation. And I grew up eating at a table. And that's the time in our family when we see everyone, you know, because they're super busy. They're in band, they're in theater, they're sports. And then when they come home, you know, the first thing is what's for dinner. And, you know, and I want that it's to smell nice in the house. And then we all eat. And that's what we do. And then they go do their thing. But it's a time where we just a very casual, relaxed catching up or, you know, not a whole lot of catching up, but it's just being together. And everyone knows that's what we do every day.
Yeah. I have only fond memories of growing up that way. And, you know, I pass that along to Addie and that's what they do. And I just think it's a good thing to like take that little time out. And, you know, my grandmother, who's Addie's named after, you know, her contribution to the family was her cooking. And, you know, that was her showing her love is to be able to put a good meal on for everybody, you know, and, you know, so that's a tradition. I think, you know, I'm happy that we get to keep.
It's awesome. You know, it's I love food and I love it when everyone's happy, when they're like, oh my God, that smells so good. Can I have more? And it's very joyful, and connecting. And my grandmother was the same way. I don't think I ever saw her sit down. She was always serving, always helping, always. And everyone couldn't wait to go to Graham's house because, you know, she was an amazing, amazing cook. So, I love that. And I understand it's not easy to do with both parents working. And I'm in a situation where it just became, that was our priority. You know, I'm an older parent, so I have a little bit more leeway and this, so I'm lucky that way. Yeah. Some time to think. It's not in that striving part of life where you're just working too hard to get established. So I have compassion too for parents who can't do that, but if you can even get one meal that you kind of just like, hey, Sundays, that whatever the day is where we're together. I think it does really matter.
Good. Well, we know what you can stuff in your lunchbox. You know what you can stuff in your backpack.
Right. Yeah.
On the ultra runs and the, yeah, I can see where all this stuff's going to fit in just fine. Even in the middle of the night, you know, they have hot chocolate, but you got your cacao matcha magic there.
It's so good. Yeah. And we have a turmeric coming. I'll send you these too. We have a green, a turmeric, and the beet coming as well. The turmeric used to be my mom's favorite. And, you know, it's, you know, for me, my dad died of Alzheimer's. So I'm very aware of, let's just try and get, and I know, like, not to make anybody think you're going to drink this turmeric drink and not get Alzheimer's, but that you add it to the pie of things that can help you. You know, one, it helps you, you know, kind of relax for sleep, and sleep is great for, you know, your brain. So anything you can do to protect your brain, we are all for. And it's turmeric, of course, is also shown to be helpful.
Helps the joints, you know, helps
the joints, inflammation. You know? Yeah. Which exactly. So how, just as a side note, how do you do that? You know, cause I know I take ice baths. I do a lot to, you know, keep my joints healthy in, you know, a 2-hour match. How do you do that? How does your body respond?
You know, the biggest injury, I mean, I've had a variety of injuries over the years. The biggest problem that I've had is been back injuries, mainly from out of balance. So, you know, I get lax in mobility and stretching and those kind of things. And, you know, I'll get a sciatica type issue. With this last 100, I actually, in the mud, that we went through, because there were 16.8 mile loops. You did 6 times. 4 miles of them was, you know, mud over your ankles, like, you know, what the racetrack looked like after the Kentucky Derby on a rainy day. I mean, it was just, you know, ugly. And your feet were pulling your feet out of the mud.
Yeah.
And I started getting, during, you know, last 40 miles, I was getting a pain up my shin, you know, inside, not on the bone, but in of the shin. And it's like, well, you know, it's muscular. You know, it's not broke.
Right.
So keep going.
I can keep running.
There's no blood. There's no bone. You know, keep moving. But every time I pull my foot out of them, you know, it was like it really was getting, you know, tight. Well, after the race, I actually recovered. My quads and everything recovered good, but I had this nagging injury. Well, fast forward, I thought, well, I had like a tibial tendonitis, posterior tibial tendonitis from, you know, pulling my, and I probably had a little bit going on before the 100. But I think the way I was, you know, countering everything, there's more layers to the onion. So I end up having a bit of an ankle injury with some, you know, I keep, you know, left side hurts, right side. So I'm on the road to recovery right now with it, just starting to jog, you know, a little bit. But the turmeric has been, you know, something that I've taken. I don't do ice baths. I'm just not a fan of cold. I tried the Wim Hof ice showers. I just, you know, I mean, I've tried everything. I didn't even like when I did triathlon, you know, the best thing about not doing triathlon is like, I don't have to get wet in the morning in the water. I don't mind sweating. I don't mind getting rained on, but I just, the cold, you know, and, but I do red sauna, infrared sauna. And, so that, you know, so I'll heat up, and it's so funny because I really hadn't thought about it like directly on my, you know, ankle. So I have a portable type unit that I have in my house that's, you know, 4 big panels of light. Sauna Space is the company. It's actually a pretty good company. But I had my leg, you know, I was laying with my leg up in the air, like, and I was telling Dawn this morning, it was like having a hot dog on a stick. You know, I had my ankle up in the air in front of the red light, trying to kind of cook that. The part that's inflamed, you know, see if I can get, because I heard, you know, somebody was talking about, you know, the, you know, get it, you know, want to drain the lymphatics out, because at the end of the day, drain it out and then heat to increase the blood flow, you know, to the area. Okay. It's like, I'll just, you know, heat that thing up real good before I go to bed. Like a marshmallow.
Drain it out. Right. Oh my God.
So that's really, but you know, doing the mobility is, you know, I really have to, and it's, you know, as I get older, I really have to, you know, pay attention. And we even started a mobility class in the office, that, you know, we have, you know, people, cause people's balance and posture is so bad, if you look around. And so, you know, and fall risk is the big thing, you know, your mom and the hip, that's, you know, that's always everybody's biggest fear. So we're trying to you know, get ahead of that in the class, and we put that up on Zoom. But, you know, for full disclosure, a lot of mobility classes about me getting to spend an hour at work in my shorts, you know, stretching.
Stretching out. Which it's, you know.
And I call it mobility class.
You know? Right. Yeah, we're stretching with Dr. Delaney. But it makes, you know, it makes sense. That was, you know, my mom, when she was this last time, she fell. And it was her balance. After she broke her hip, she had, and it was right around COVID, so she wasn't in the pool as much, so she wasn't doing the things that kept her strong. And then she got kind of, her balance was just to a point where she was afraid. And she ended up falling. And, you know, hospice came, and she was in hospice care for almost 3 weeks. And they said she is the healthiest hospice person. But she was just, she had broken her back in several places, 93. And she had said to me, you know, Meg, I just don't have another big recovery in me. She had gone through, and I felt it, you know, and she was ready. And that was her decision. And so I think that, you know, and you know, at that point, it's whether you have the will to live. It's not whether you can, for her. And she was, because her heart was fine. She had no other complications. It was just, she was done, and it was the fall, and we had been working on her balance. She had been in PT, but I think it's such, you know, we joke a little, but it's such a important thing to start in your 60s, because that's when I've noticed in my friends, it started to go, you know, not when you're 80, don't look at it, but in your 60s is when you start to notice you're taking
stand on one
smaller
leg, you
steps.
Know.
Yeah.
Your feet, you know, there's a lot of, you know, foot mobility, you know, you stand, use your
exactly.
big toe, people, you look down. I mean, I've got, you know, it's like we do this, and it's like, I got this bunion on my foot. I don't know when my big toe started to dysfunction, but it, you know, somewhere along the line, you know,
right, just
and it's like, huh. But you know, it's stuff that everybody has to practice. And when I ask people to do it, because we do part of our assessment in the office, you know, standing on one foot, you know, balancing and doing posture assessments. And it's like, people are shocked. And it's across the board. I said, just go to the gas station and watch people get out of the car. You'll see it. It's everywhere. Or stand in line at the airport and see all the bad posture of all the people because of their phones and, you know, various things and the inflammation that goes along with it. And, you know, once something breaks or you're, you know, it's easier to maintain than to try to rehab.
It's true. It's really true. And so I love that you have a mobility class. And I noticed it with my friends, and I really noticed it with my mom, because she was an athlete. You know, she was a tennis player, a golfer, loved sport, right? You know, we would do ball games in her cottage just because she liked to catch things and to keep her reflexes and, you know, cross the midline stuff with her even into her 90s.
Wow.
But it was her balance that the fear had set in. And so even if she could do it, it's just like her mind shut down to it. So
that's
a real important piece.
When when my mom passed away, I was going out of town to a race. And, you know, one of the last conversations we had, I, you know, got down before I left, you know, she was sitting in a chair, and it's like, okay, staying off the ground, right? You know, stay off the ground. Yes, I will. You know, because my mom was climbing ladders at 90. You know, she had her step stool that, you know, somebody in their 30s, it was, you know, this steps, you know, we were like, oh my God, you know, because she's like, when you come home tonight, could you get something down for me? But if I didn't do it right then, I had to do it right then, because she would, you know, she would just do it. And so it was a huge fear that she was going to take a tumble. And she did take, we told her she really had the technique of falling down, because she, you know, hit the ground and rolled.
Oh, so she knew the roll. My mom didn't have the roll.
Yeah, she was a tuck and roll kind of girl. I mean, she took some, you know, tumbles, because, you know, getting in a hurry, you know, the Italian, she's one step ahead of, you know, you know, it's something that you just, you know, she was concerned about that. And so she did yoga. So she did yoga in our office Wednesday before she passed. And then, like I told you beforehand, I had to cancel her golf game on Saturday. And she was someone that never sat down.
Just never sat down. Yeah.
So the key is, you know, we're sitting, don't sit down.
Just keep moving. And, you know, I love that. And I think we talked before, and for anybody listening, that it was, you know, heartbreaking. And I know for you, for to lose our mom. And I know that the whole, one of the reasons that we eat this way and want to live this way is so that the whole of my life can be full and I can experience it to the fullest of my ability. And that's what my mom had. And I know your mom did, that diseases and, you know, injuries and illness didn't minimize my mom's life or yours. You know, she was able to do all these things. And that's what we want. And I know that's the promise of whole food plant-based eating. I know that, that whatever life you have is going to be enhanced by it, because we never know when it's going to be over, you know, at all.
No,
but I just want the time that I'm here to be able to experience it fully and joyfully.
So go swing hard at those tennis balls. And
I'm going to do it.
Be very thankful.
So just for your listeners, it's Delaney20, and just put that in and I'll send you a link too. And they can just put that in if they want to get anything at Mama Says. It's Delaney20, and it's a special code only for your listeners. And so
thank you.
And hopefully they'll enjoy it. And I am so glad to reconnect with you.
Yes.
You know, you've always been kind of a North Star, and I love watching what you're doing, and we'll continue to send you things to hopefully fuel your next 100 race.
We'll see how those mango slices do at 12,000 feet in the summer.
Oh my goodness. All right.
Thanks so much for taking time.
Absolutely. Wonderful to talk with you.
All right. Have a great evening. All right. Bye-bye. I hope you enjoyed the interview and the conversation with Meg and I catching up. I really do like the products. Like I said on the podcast, was there the talk with her. I enjoy the date pecan and before my run, or maybe between laps when we're doing long runs here at the house. I love the dried mango. I didn't try the banana yet, but I'm sure I would like it. I love the granola. It's not too sweet. I like the fact that there's not added oils in them, in the products. There are nuts and seeds, but again, these are snack foods, and it's not a whole lot. The fat content is actually low. The sodium content is low, and the little squares, you know, one will do you. It's not something that you're going to eat the whole box of, but it's very satisfying in the way that it's made, and there is a little bit of a crunch to it. So try it out. And as she said, if you go to mamasays.com and use the code Delaney20, you'll get $20 off of a bundle. But check out the product. Again, I've had nothing but great service over the years with Meg and Mama Says. So it's a company that I really trust. And certainly, you know, Meg is quite the athlete herself. And walks the walk. So I love supporting companies where people walk the walk, not just trying to market something to people just because. So thank you as always for listening. If you want to find out more about our practice, those mobility classes are actually online. We record them so people can watch them on Zoom live, or they're up there on our members only website in recording fashion as our nutrition lectures from myself and the registered dietitian. So we have multiple levels that people can join. You can have just access to our online content, or you can have consults with Addie and I together separately, monthly. So there's a lot of different choices. If you're not sure what you want, you can always call our office, 941-235-9231, to schedule a free consult about the practice. But you can also sign up online. So we appreciate if you go over to drdelaney.com and take a look. Love to have you as part of the practice. Love to share your health journey. So thank you again for listening. Talk to you next week.